This is an excerpt from Intraterrestrial by Nicholas Conley.
Adam remembered pushing Joe in the hallway. He remembered how proud he'd felt about standing up to Joe. Serves him right. He hadn't expected Joe to tear apart his bicycle in retribution. "Have you considered?" Joe's father said in a voice so oily it made Adam sick. "That your adorable son might have some mental illness, perhaps?" "He's a good kid," Mom said. "Heart's in the right place. That's the only thing that matters. I know that Adam is a strange kid, and maybe he's not cool or whatever. But for your son to break his fucking bicycle..." "Camille, honey," Dad said, "you gotta relax." "Are you kidding me? John, this is our son we're talking about. Can't you defend something for once in your life?" "Honey, don't honey me. I'm so sick of your passiveness. You let these people walk all over you if I wasn't here." Adam cringed and moved away from the door. Joe snickered and swiveled to face Adam, malice in his eyes. "Oh, loser. Looks like your parents got some problems." "No, they don't," Adam whispered. "Yeah, they do. You hear them fighting? You know, my mom is a divorce lawyer. Maybe she could help." "Come on, dude, just leave me alone." Adam crossed his arms. Joe stood up and planted his hands on Adam's shoulders. Then he shoved, and Adam fell to the floor, barely catching himself. Though Adam's blood boiled at the sight of the bully sneering down at him, he didn't act. Despite the pride he'd felt at seeing his black eye in the mirror, he was still the same weak little Adam as before.
This is an excerpt from Change Up by Lacey Hart.
"You hardly know her. She's just looking to use you."
I rose from the bed, feeling anger welling in me again. "How dare you say that?" I told Izzy. "You don't know anything about her. You just jump to conclusions right away. You haven't learned enough about life yet, Izzy, to say that. And do you honestly think I would do that or act that way? Just bring someone home and sleep with them just so I could do it? I would hope that you know me better than to think that was true. I barely know you at all," Izzy shouted back at me. "You've been home 3 or 4 months a year for my entire life. How do I know what you are like, what you do or feel or anything else? We spend a few weeks together doing things in the winter, but I don't really know you, Dad. Just like you don't really know me." Her statement stung me and caught me off guard. All this time, I had thought we had a good relationship with each other, but clearly, Izzy didn't feel the same way. At least not at this point in her life. I sat back down on the bed next to her, feeling sadder than I had in a very long time. "I'm sorry you feel that way, Izzy," I said to her. "I know I haven't been the ideal dad for you, but this is the life I lead, and it allows us to live the way we do and have what we have. I've had to make sacrifices, and so have you. I guess I just didn't consider your sacrifices as much as I should have." Izzy turned and looked at me. I think she could see what she had said had hurt me, and maybe that is what she intended at first. She sat up on the bed next to me and put her head on my shoulder.
It's not all you, Dad," she said to me. I just don't think it's fair, I guess. I've spent my whole life having to basically share you with the whole town and half the world because of who you are. And then there's this hope that opens up that maybe I'll get some time to get to know you, and so you get to know me. And someone else steps in and takes it away. It hurt, Dad.
Maybe I didn't react the best way. I'm sorry about that, but it's how I feel. I get it, Izzy, and maybe it all happened pretty fast. I have to admit, I was caught by surprise at how I feel about Kristen. It's not something that I planned on when I first got back home. She just, I don't know. I can't really explain it. I think you'll understand it better when you're older and someone special comes along in your life.
Do you love her?
Izzy asked me pointedly.
I wasn't sure how to answer that, at least not right at the time.
I think it's a little too soon for me to say that, I answered. But I can say that I think Kristen could have a place in my life and in our lives.
How can you say that, Dad? You're both so different. You only just met. It seems to me like she's just using you, just like everyone else tries to do. You just can't see it because she's young and pretty.
Izzy was having a hard time comprehending it all, and I was having a hard time explaining it.
Izzy, we have to find a way to work this out, I said, feeling exasperated.
I don't know how that's going to happen, she said and laid back on her bed, staring up at the ceiling.
This is an excerpt from Death Opens a Window, Mourning Dove Mysteries, Book 2, by Michael Wilson.
The masked intruder tried to cut him again and again. Whisk, whisk, whisk. With each effort, Jeff dodged or deflected the blade with whatever was handy. Couch cushion, coffee table book, picture frames. After a close swing, Jeff grabbed his wrist and jammed it into his knee. As the knife clinked to the floor, the masked man shot toward the window. Before Jeff could catch him, he was gone. By the time he poked his head out the window, the man was already darting down the alley. Jeff dashed down the stairs and out of the office to the street. He started running to get around the building to the alley. But when he turned the corner, he tripped over something that sent him flying to pavement.
Dude, are you okay?
A voice from behind him asked. Jeff grunted as he pushed himself up. He turned around to see Phineas sitting there with his legs stretched out before him and his guitar leaned on the wall at his side.
I'm fine. Did I hurt you?
The homeless young man chuckled. Man, I'm feeling no pain right now.
Phineas, did you see someone running by here?
You mean besides you?
Yes, Jeff clenched his impatient fists, wearing a white ski mask.
What, a white ski mask? Phineas exhaled to check the air.
You can't even see your breath.
Jeff exhaled, but in exasperation. He wasn't worried about the temperature. He ran down to the alley and looked both ways before turning to Phineas. He's gone. He took $10 from his pocket and handed it to the homeless musician. For lunch.
Thanks, dude.
He reached for his guitar. You want me to play you a song?
That's fine.
Jeff waved and headed back to the office. Once he was alone, Phineas smirked and reached two fingers inside his guitar. From beneath the strings, he pulled out a white ski mask with a jagged red smile.